Welcome in Lineup Logic. I'm your host, Mike Alexander, here for the MLB pod for Monday, April 23rd. Joining me tonight, special treat, Chris Boove. How we doing, Chris?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing well. Good. A little worn out, out in the sun all weekend doing yard work, getting stuff done out there. So I got a little bit of a sunburn, a little bit of a sore back.
I hear you, man. I work outside in Florida, so.
Yeah, you got serious work. I'm out there like playing around with my soft hands. But yeah, so we're gonna jump in, do the slate breakdown. If we have time at the end, we'll hit a little thought process on a FanDuel lineup. Hit us with your Twitter handle real quick, Chris. Let's get some bookkeeping out of the way.
At Chris Boove, B-O-U-V 1-4.
And I'm RotoWan, Roto_WAN. Hit us on there with any questions. You guys can get me in Slack as always. If you're not in the Slack chat, get in there, man. It's great stuff. You guys are some of the best subs out there, always pointing stuff out before I even get a chance to, you know, type it up. So definitely a reciprocal relationship. But diving in here at the top, we'll cover the Braves, Reds, in case you're playing a slate that has it, over under of 9. So diving in at the top, Braves, Reds, looks like Folty is going to start for the Braves due to postponement today. Folty against the Reds, I am interested in. He's been pretty good mixing his pitches, getting the Ks. Definitely took a step forward this year. We'll see how long into the year that lasts, but got some interest in Folty against a Reds lineup that's been pretty flat all season. You agree with that, Chris?
Absolutely. Ground ball pitcher, so whatever benefits you get from pitching, you know, from facing a Reds lineup in Cincinnati, I think is eliminated with his ground ball style. I know he's got that downward sinker that gets a lot of guys. He did pretty well against Washington in two starts. If you can do good against Washington in that lineup, that was one in home, at home, and on the road. So I think he's in a good spot, especially like you said, struggling Reds offense.
Yeah, it's Sal Romano on the other side. Not interested in.
Nope.
The Reds offense just can't give him enough to give you a good shot at a win. Top of the Braves lineup is pretty hot right now. Albies, Freeman, Preston Tucker. Preston Tucker is more of a GPP play for me. He is producing good overall numbers, but he has a lot of bad games in between good. so just keep that in mind. He's not a guaranteed floor if you're going to roster him.
That whole roster, I mean, Swanson's killing it, batting .342. Kurt Suzuki's got three home runs, batting .300. I mean, it's
if you're on DraftKings at all, Kurt Suzuki is a great pitcher to roster, especially at home. He's on the road here, but still a good park. The Reds lineup, it changes a lot game to game. Votto, you're getting pretty cheap, and we've said before, you know, I'm happy to put Votto in ahead of the breakout than afterwards because you're going to get a better price. So that's about the only Red I like.
He's still getting on base. He's got seven walks in his last five games. So, I mean, he walked four times yesterday against St. Louis. So he's going to get on
base. He's not going to give you a zero.
Yeah, it's just when he's going to hit that home run is what we're looking for.
Yep. Then next game, we got the Indians taking on the Orioles in Baltimore, over under of 8. Carlos Carrasco going for the Tribe. Kevin Gausman for the O's. Carrasco looking pretty good this year, picking up where he left off last season. So against one of my favorite targets in the early part of the year, the O's offense, definitely looking into him. Gausman has started to right the ship a little bit. He was not good in the early part of the season. He's gotten the earned runs down a touch. Questions about the quality of opponent for me that he's done it against. The Indians woke up a little bit today for sure. I don't think I want to touch Gausman.
Not at all.
You agree with that?
Not at all. Yeah, for sure. You know, give up nine hits to a Detroit offense that's not all that great. I mean, they kind of had a little bit of a resurgence, but still not that great. Toronto, nine base runners, three runs. Indians have a far better offense than both of those teams. I think could get ugly pretty quick. I do like Carrasco quite a bit, though. You know, Baltimore.
Yeah, he's one of the top guys.
Especially against right-handers, Baltimore really struggles. 29th in batting average, 29th in weighted on base average. They got the third highest K rate versus right-handed pitchers. And he's got a quality start.
So many strikeouts.
He got a four start. So.
Yeah, so many strikeouts in that O's lineup. You know, their only real left-hander, Chris Davis. I could see him like hitting a solo shot, but not going to do a lot against Carrasco, you would think. He is going to be chalky. He's the second most expensive pitcher on the slate on FanDuel. So, you know, I think that guy usually gets a pretty good ownership when all things are even. Just, you know, you save some money, fit more people in. So definitely in cash, probably playing him. GPPs, you may need to mix it up a little bit, but depends on what you like out of the other options.
Yeah,
right, moving on.
I would say he's probably going to be the highest owned pitcher on the slate.
You would think, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, then we got Twins, Yankees in New York, over under of 9. Jake Odorizzi for the Twins, Masahiro Tanaka for the Yanks. I don't trust Odorizzi. You know, once he got traded from Tampa, he kind of fell off my radar completely. It's been good and bad this year against that Yankees lineup. You figure it's going to probably be bad. Take a quick look at what the weather is tomorrow in New York. Get a little bit better sense. Fairly warm. It's in the 50s. Wind looks neutral. So I think the Yankees offense is in a good spot there. As usual, they'll be pretty popular. Tanaka's a tough one. He's a nice GPP play for me because when he gets that that splitter going, he's really tough to hit. When he doesn't, he gives up 6 earned runs like he has the last two times out.
Yeah.
And, one was Boston, one was Miami. So, you know, the Boston one you can forgive. The Miami one, you kind of scratch your head over.
Yeah, so that's 19 why I'm saying base runners in 10 innings is a lot of base runners over the last 10 starts.
He's skating by on by the skin on his teeth. But the Twins have been a little streaky to start the year. I mean, a lot of it has to do with the weather up there. They're not getting to play every day. They've been on the road a lot. So, you know, I think you could go Tanaka in one lineup and then and stack some Twins in another as an insurance. Because I got the feeling it's going to go one way or the other. It's either going to be like 1 earned and 6-7 Ks or, you know, 5-6 earned with you know, not many strikeouts.
Yeah, I would agree, especially with the amount of lefties in that Twins lineup. I think I completely agree. I think he's either going to give up 5-6 runs or he's going to throw a 8-inning, you know, 9K type deal.
Right. And your boy Lomo finally hit one. It took Face and Chris Archer to do it, but.
Yeah, I mean, I called 3, so I'm a little disappointed in him.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's maybe finally getting something going. He's not a bad GPP play against a guy like Tanaka who can give up the long ball. Eddie Rosario in the middle of that lineup is always a nice play because his salary is usually fairly cheap and he's just not a popular name. All right, then we got the Athletics taking on the Rangers in Texas, over under of 10. Probably because of the pitchers on the hill here. Trevor Cahill for the A's, Matt Moore for the Rangers. You know, Cahill, he looked pretty decent in his first start there, finally got out of the bullpen and into the rotation. He did the same thing last season. He came out of the gate really strong until the, I think it was elbow, maybe shoulder, kind of gave out on him. But 7 innings, 8 Ks, none earned. That'll get it done. The Rangers have not been the most consistent team to start the year for sure. They do have a couple lefties that scare you a little bit. But I think Cahill in a GPP is fine. Let's take a look at his price real quick.
I have Cahill listed as a GPP play. Texas has the 5th lowest weighted on base average versus righties at home this season, and the 8th highest K rate versus righties as well. You know, so I'm not too concerned about Texas's lefties. Cahill in his last start against the White Sox, he had 8 Ks. 7 of those were against left-handed batters. So I'm not concerned that he's going to struggle getting those lefties out. I think he can get it done.
Yeah, from what I remember last season, when he was really effective, he was challenging lefties inside really effectively with a I forget what the actual pitch is, but it has a ton of movement left to right on it, so it makes it really tough for left-handed batters to know, is this coming inside or is this going to be a strike?
Yeah, I'm fairly sure that's his changeup.
Yeah, it's Saris was talking about it when he was breaking out. I think it's like a changeup with a strange grip or something, or a power change. I think that might have been what it was. Like, he's throwing it super hard, like high 80s changeup. And it just has a ton of life, which is kind of like not a changeup, but I guess the grip qualifies it. He's 6,600, definitely a GPP option. Matt Moore been getting beat up so far this year. The A's have been super hot, mostly at home. So maybe don't assume that they're going to carry that onto the road. Just take that with a little bit of caution, but a lot of right-handed power in that lineup. You did point out, though, on our last show that the Chris Davis doesn't hit a lot of homers off of lefties, and Pomeranz blanked him, I think. So that was a nice catch by you.
Yeah, I believe last year, I think he hit 43 home runs, and some, I think it was 37 of them were against right-handed pitchers. So he definitely hits well off righties. He still hits well against lefties, just not for much power. As far as the game goes as a whole, I still really like Oakland. They got one of the highest on weighted on base averages against left-handed pitchers. They have a top 10 OBP against left-handed pitchers. They got the 3rd highest batting average against lefties. So I'm really excited to put some Oakland guys in my lineup because, you know, this year so far, Matt Moore's already given up 12 earned runs and only 1 home run, surprisingly. So I expect that to rise tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see how they construct their lineup. What Roto Grinders has projected as Semien, Kana, Lowry, Davis, Chapman.
I'm going to see if they'll let me. I'm going to see if they'll let me stack Jed Lowry 4 times.
He is hot, man. The doubles have turned into home runs. He's always been a doubles hitter, and then they're just leaving the yard.
He's hitting everybody too. He hit Chris Sale yesterday.
Yeah, and Matt Chapman off to a great start. Raised his average a ton. We'll see if that sticks, but he's a good play. I'm thinking I'm going to build 2 stacks with this lineup, one top half, one bottom half, because when I played them during the breakout game last week, like I said, I used the top half and missed out. And there's a lot of lefty killers at the end of this lineup. Luke Roy, Piscotty, if they play Taylor Thompson, and then you could loop it around with Semien at the top. And just hope that they bat around once or twice and get you the at-bats you need. And then probably just Gallo out of the Rangers is one of the only names I'm really interested in from a power perspective.
Yeah, I could see I don't even really like Gallo all that much, just because of his swing path. I don't know if it suits hitting up against Cahill. I could see Chu having a big game. That's my only real concern is Chu, because he can hit the ball no matter where you throw it. And I think especially lower where Cahill's going to try to live, I think he could get hit by Chu.
Yeah, he's always a good cash game play. He figures out how to get on base, puts a lot of balls in play. All right, then we got the Angels taking on the Astros in Houston, 8.5 over under. Tyler Skaggs, left-hander, taking on Garrett Cole for the Astros. Garrett Cole in the middle of his career year, if this keeps up. The most expensive pitcher on the night. That normally I you know, might, after the performance he's put on the last couple times out, you know, I would not go too heavy on him just from an ownership standpoint. But like we said with Carrasco right there and in an equally good spot, that's going to siphon a lot of ownership off. So I'm interested in Cole a good bit. I think his ownership, you know, he's a full $1,100 more expensive than Carrasco. So to go up and get him, really, you know, really tough to build a lineup around him. But if you can figure out a way to do it, I don't hate it.
I like Cole, obviously for a cash game play. I also think that, you know, with the way the Angels lineup, like how hot they can get, I also think the Angels might be a very low owned contrarian stack if you're just trying to throw a dart.
Yeah, and they've been kind of quiet lately, especially with that Red Sox series. They really got handled, so people might be off of the Angels. For the Astros, taking on Tyler Skaggs, that whip has really started to catch up with Skaggs. Got beat up last time out. And take your pick of the Astros as usual. I guess wrong on Friday. I went heavy on Altuve instead of Correa, and it was Correa's day to hit two home runs.
Yeah, he's heating up. But, he had another two or three hits today.
Yeah, he's getting there, and doesn't hurt being down there in the dome in Houston with the, you know, not exactly a dome. The roof keeps things kind of quiet wind wise. Springer at the top. He's usually really expensive, but a pretty safe option. Evan Gattis hit a home run. McCann has done a little bit. Jake Marisnyk should be their center fielder against a lefty. He's always a sneaky play. Marwin Gonzalez is starting to turn it around a little bit, get out of his funk, hit some RBIs today. Yuli Gurriel, he hit that home run his first game back, and he's been kind of quiet since then. I mean, he's got a couple double-digit days, but he's always a nice floor for me.
Yeah, Houston, I mean, against Skaggs is going to be a really good play. Houston's actually better hitting against right-handed pitchers, but they still hit very well against lefties. I mean, they're hitting everybody. So I think they're eighth in ISO against lefties. They're seventh in weighted on base average against lefties. They do actually strike out quite a bit against lefties. Let's see here. They're 10th in strikeout rate against left-handed pitchers. But, you know, they're going to hit the ball hard.
I wonder how much of that is Brian McCann.
Yeah. What was the other one? Marisnyk. He actually has the other day. He has zero walks on the year and 27 strikeouts as of Saturday, I believe.
That's not good.
That's not good at all.
Hey, we don't lose points for strikeouts, luckily.
Yeah.
His little power speed combo for not much price.
Yeah, it'll be cheap.
Yeah. All right, then another one of my favorite games for the slate. The Mariners taking on the White Sox, 9 over under. Mike Leake for the Mariners, Miguel Gonzalez for the White Sox. Gonzalez just looks finished to me. it's been a bad year for him. Huge ERA. The White Sox aren't ready to call anybody up. They can't afford to wear their bullpen out with the poor quality of starters they have. So they just leave those guys out there to get hammered. Gonzalez, just everything he threw in the zone was getting hammered, and then he couldn't find the zone against the A's. I think the Mariners, who are starting to get back to where they should be, are a really nice play. The top half of that lineup down through Haniger. Haniger is crushing the ball right now. Hit a homer today, I believe. Yeah, he did. Two-run shot. That's two straight days with homers for him. See if he can make it three.
Seattle's given up. I mean, not Seattle. I'm sorry. Gonzalez has given up a ton of base runners. He's given up 10 base runners in every single game he's pitched this year so far, and he hasn't even made it into the sixth inning yet. So,
right. Yeah, that's an unsightly whip. I like D. Gordon at the top there. If he gets on a decent bet to try to steal a base, Segura is another good play. Cano obviously has got some pop, and you know these guys are usually hitting in a little bit of a pitcher friendly park. They're going to be playing the game at whatever U.S. Cellular Field is called these days, and that's a hitter's park. The weather looks fairly decent for Chicago this time of year, 50 degrees, high 40s. So no concern there for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like a game stack here. I don't really like the White Sox against right-handed pitchers. They don't do as well. They're such a right-handed heavy lineup. And Leak's nothing special, but you know he'll probably give up couple of runs, but I don't think he's gonna blow up and give you what you need. I think he'll strike out five or six of them, maybe go five, six innings. Nothing special, but I don't like the White Sox here.
Agreed. If you're gonna stack a game, you probably want to stack this one. Padres Rockies in Colorado. 11 over under, one of the higher over unders you're gonna see. Brian Mitchell for the Padres, Chad Bettis for the Rockies. Brian Mitchell, most of the year, has been giving up a ton of base runners. Did a little better last time out against the Dodgers, but they're kind of a lost offense at the moment. Still gave up three earned against them, though. You could not walk people at Coors Field. You pay for it dearly. So anybody in the Rockies lineup, usual suspects, Blackman, LeMahieu, Arenado, all good plays. Don't forget about the bottom half. Para, Iannetta, if you need a catcher, he's hitting the ball really hard right now. One of the highest hard hit rates for catchers. Be interesting to see if they put McMahon at first base. My TGFBI share would really appreciate him getting some regular at bats.
Yeah, I think we see a David Dahl home run tomorrow.
Yeah, he did get the call, so keep your eye out for him. His price should be pretty rock bottom coming off of AAA. And then for the pot,
where's he at? Yeah, I don't know if he's going to even be listed on here right now. I don't even see him on here.
Don't see him, so he's probably not going to be added. I hate when FanDuel does that. Like, just you, like, all the money you have for programming, and you can't build a freaking player profile to plug into your database so that when somebody gets a call, like, there's probably 100 people you have to do it with at the beginning of the year, 100 prospects that you just have to say, let's just build their profiles and have him ready to go.
See, how do they not have a profile for him already? I mean,
from last year.
Yeah, he's already been there and played games. Yeah. So
I can't stand when they do that crap. DraftKings is better about it. They usually have guys like you see Acuna in their lists, a couple other prospects, so that if they do get the call, they've got a price, they're ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a shame. But he may not even be in the starting lineup, so won't get too pissed off about it until it happens. On the other side, the Padres, you know, they're not a great offense, but anybody in Coors is dangerous. Chad Bettis has been really good to start the year. I don't know if I buy this start. You have any feeling on him, Chris?
It's funny when we started this game in particular, you said, if you're going to stack a game, this is the one to stack. And I immediately cringed because I like Bettis a little bit in this. I think he's going to be extremely contrarian because he's, you know, in Coors, you know, and like you said, the Padres, they are not that great offensively, especially against righties. I did a couple of specific searches just for Bettis, and the Padres have the fourth lowest hard hit percentage versus right-handed pitchers, the third lowest. And this is where I was leaning, because, you know, Coors, you hit anything in the air and it's going out. Well, the Padres have the third lowest fly ball percentage against right-handed pitchers this year. So they're not even getting a whole lot of lift. So I think there's some upside here, especially with the fact that they strike out so much. I think, where are they at here? They have the second highest K rate versus right-handed pitchers this year as well. So I think you could get a little bit of upside.
Yeah, that could be a GPP attack plan. You know, Coors kind of has a magical way of fixing anything that ails an offense, but there is something to be said about, I know I've heard plenty of hitters talk about the first game of the series when they visit Coors. It takes a little bit of getting used to playing at that altitude, hitting the ball at that altitude. So that sometimes the opening game of a series can be a dud for the visiting offense. So yeah, maybe not the best game stack, but maybe, well, like, if you need a one-off.
You know, Coors has a way of helping your struggle. So in Coors, there's always a possibility for that blow-up. It's just, you know, looking at GPP, because I'm more of a GPP player, and I can tell you're a little bit more of a cash game player just based on conversations we've had. But I think it's sneaky, and I think he could – I don't think he's going to go crazy and, you know, strike out 8 or 10, but I think he could get you a quality start.
Right, yeah, and you're dead on there. Like, for me – playing cash games, you roster people in Coors. That's what you get, as much of that game as you are, you know, can. I'd like to get one guy from each side at least when there's, you know, a game there with decent weather. And you let the thin air do the work for you instead of trying to figure it out on your own. But, you know, it's not foolproof for sure. And there are good pitching lines periodically at Coors. So, Bettis could easily keep rolling here against the Padres. Next game, the Marlins taking on the Dodgers. Jarlin Garcia for the Fish. Brock Stewart is who the RG has listed. I'm not 100% sure.
They're not showing anything on FanDuel. They haven't even...
I remember hearing Walker Buehler is going to get a spot start this week. I wonder if that's tomorrow. Let me look that up real quick. Because I own him a few places. That would be nice.
See, I heard Alex Wood.
Yeah, so this is one of those, especially with a late game, you're going to kind of have to chase it up till there's an announcement. Let's see what they're saying about Buehler here. To start Monday versus the Marlins, he's being recalled. So... should be Walker Buehler going tomorrow versus the Marlins at home. That's a great spot. For people who don't know who Walker Buehler is, fireball pitcher, really good spring training. He's been pretty good in the minors to date. He was up a little bit last year, struggled more than you would expect, you know, with his late season call-up. But the stuff is there. He's probably the best pitcher out of his draft class. The Marlins are not a good offense. The only thing that could worry me a little bit is if he gets squeezed by the home plate ump. So maybe check and see who he's getting when that comes out. The problem is, again, it's a 10:10 p.m. game. So you may not find out in time to take any action. I'll try and remember to check that and post in Slack who it is and how they profile. Because that's something that gets overlooked fairly often is there's a big portion of what the umpire's strike zone is that dictates, is it going to be a game where there's a lot of strikeouts or not? You know, do they give guys a low strike or the inside pitch? Or do they squeeze guys? You know, some umpires definitely have a reputation for squeezing young pitchers. They don't know that they throw strikes yet, so they don't give them those calls on the edge.
As far as Garcia goes on the other side, uh-huh. I mean, I don't know if you've taken a look at his actual game log, but he's given up 6 hits in 21 innings. That's pretty incredible considering he's played the Yankees, the Mets offense, which has a few good righties in it. Philly, Chicago. I mean, he's only struck out 13 in that 21 innings, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not giving up a whole lot of contact.
Yeah, he's an interesting case, maybe for the darkest of dark horse lineups.
I don't know if I'd put him in there against the Dodgers. I just think that's a pretty incredible feat to pull off for a first year guy.
Right. Yeah, I don't know enough of his profile coming up. He has walked a fair amount of people. So that could be kind of covering up some stuff, where, you know, if those balls were getting put into play, they could be doing some negative things for him. The Dodgers have just been such a tough team to play this year because they're so inconsistent. You know, some World Series hangover, some injuries. Justin Turner, you know, the most notable. He apparently was a much bigger part of that offense than a lot of us gave him credit for. Chris Taylor had seemed like he was getting it going for a little bit there, and he hit a couple home runs in a stretch. You know, the other day he had a double and a triple. He's been very up and down, though. A lot of quiet games mixed in. Corey Seager, another guy that same thing. Like, he's not where he needs to be numbers wise, but he's a sneaky play because he's a guy who can hit lefties a little bit. And Garcia for the Marlins is a lefty. The Marlins bullpen is not very good either, which kind of has me interested a little bit in the Dodgers, maybe just in like a single entry GPP, kind of, you know, low dollar dart. Marlins hitters, Bauer is usually a good price. I'm sorry, Boer is usually a good price. He's 3,200 again. So for the power he gives you, if you can't find anybody else down there in the first base basement, he's a consideration. Maybe Real Muto, if you need to play on a site with a catcher. He's been pretty cheap on DraftKings so far from that injury. His pricing hasn't caught up yet.
Yeah, I wonder if there's something wrong with Seager still, like, and they're not talking about it. I mean, he's really struggling. I mean, he's still hitting the ball fairly hard.
Right.
But this is just this is well below his talent level.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so many things that he's had have been really integral things to your, you know, your power, shoulder, elbow, back. Like, that's pretty much the three worst things besides your wrist that could sap
power. Yeah, for such a young guy to have that many issues already. You know, main issues.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize he's a big guy. He's 6'4". So playing shortstop at 6'4" is not easy. He probably needs to transition to another position if his body keeps responding this way.
Yeah, I mean, with the question marks, I made a comment on somebody's post on Twitter about this year, with every, you know, taking into account everything, I'll take Didi Gregorius over Corey Seager. And I got a bunch of crap for it, but I stand by that.
Yeah, that's looking like a good call so far. Didi is did he hit a home run today? I think he did.
Let me take a look. But it looks like he did. Yes, he did. He is now up to 6 on the year with 20 RBIs, batting .333.
That's nuts.
Maybe that was 7. Maybe that was number 7.
Yeah, I think that might have been 7. And then on the Dodgers, Yasmani Grandal has been probably their only bright spot. If you need a catcher, he's crushing the ball. He had 4 or 5 RBIs today. And I'm sorry, that was
Grandal.
That was a couple games ago.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, still he's posting some monster lines, and at a position like catcher or shortstop, I always try to put a guy in who at least has a shot at putting up a huge line, versus a guy like Andralton Simmons. Like, sure, he's okay, he's improved over the last year. But he's not really ever going to put up like a 15 or a 20 most nights, you know. So, like, he said, a guy like Didi, obviously, now that his pricing is caught up, that's a little bit different. You know, other shortstops, you know, maybe like a Tim Anderson. When he goes off hard and you know, can hit. So, you know, double up, homer, steal, that kind of thing. So that's, you know, at a position that's kind of weak already, I like a guy who's got at least that potential.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, Grandal has been so good for so long too. I mean, he's betting .350 this year. So, but I agree. He's a cash game play, I think, pretty much on an everyday basis, but he also gives you, you know, a lot of upside to give you even some tournament potential as well.
Yep. All right, then last game of the night, the Nationals taking on the Giants in San Fran, 7.5 over under. Gio Gonzalez, left-hander, taking on Chris Stratton for the Giants. Stratton's been pretty good this year. It's going to be a pretty big test here against the Nats, who handled Clayton Kershaw the other night without much trouble. So that was pretty impressive in that Kershaw-Scherzer matchup. You know, he's gotten to face division competition so far. No one very impressive. Dodgers twice, Padres, Diamondbacks, Stratton, that is. You know, I'm impressed so far, but he doesn't offer enough strikeouts really to roster. The Giants' offense is usually challenged, though. Against the left-hander, they have a little bit more success, I think. Gio's a tough one. He had such a great season last year. He's coming in this year. He hasn't been giving up a lot of runs, but the whip has been really bad. He's got some Ks to show for it. You know, at AT&T Park, I think he's usable. It's the best pitcher's park out there. Let's see what the weather looks like. Not that it matters too much. The wind is,
it's always nice in San Francisco, isn't it?
The wind is always
about that one.
Yeah, like the wind is always whipping out of that park, and like you go through, and there's some sites that'll just show wind over like 15 miles an hour. and it's always AT&T Park, but it doesn't matter because they built the stadium to like muffle the wind. Because it's just, it's always that way. But actually tomorrow it looks like the wind is in only a couple miles an hour, but that makes it even more of a pitcher's park.
Yeah, I like Gio. I like Gio tomorrow. Like you said, in the pitcher's park, I think a lot of people will be off of him just because of the whip issues and, you know, not, he hasn't reached the sixth inning since his first start. And, you know, everybody knows the right-handers from the Giants, McCutchen and, you know, Posey and Longo, but they have the eighth highest K rate versus left-handed pitchers in Major League Baseball. And they have the sixth lowest weighted on base average.
Like, Gio's been around so long, he's burned everybody at one point or another. So people tend to hate rostering him. Even with his success last year, I felt like his ownership usually wasn't where it would be if his name weren't Gio Gonzalez.
Right.
But yeah, then, you know, the Nats offense, Trey Turner, always a threat to steal a base, especially in that park with the power being suppressed. I could see the Nats playing a little small ball. Howie Kendrick has been, you know, kind of vanilla but reliable so far this year. Harper's interesting to me here. People are probably not going to pay his price. Let me take a quick look at what that is. 5K. He's the fourth most expensive outfielder. You know, he's the kind of guy that can hit one out of that park. He's got that kind of power. He hit a broken bat home run the other day, 410 feet. So he's a guy that can do it there.
Yeah, I don't necessarily like a game, or not a game stack, but a team stack with the Nationals. But I could definitely see rostering a Turner or a Harper individually. Maybe even those two, but that'd probably be about it. Because I think Stratton has it. I think he's got it figured out. I think he has a nice mental makeup, which can help him get through games like this.
Yeah. That might be just like a two-off kind of spot, or one of those guys, if you've got the salary to pay up, if you find a pitcher you don't mind paying down a little bit for. It'll be interesting to see if the Nats do fall behind, if Hunter Strickland gets the ninth with all the history with he and Harper. Would love to see Harper take him yard. That would make my day.
Yeah, I don't think it would make Strickland's day. I think Harper's he's one of those guys that kind of, you know, if he's not on your team, he really gets under your skin.
Yep.
And I'm not even really sure why. I don't know if it's the hair or the commercials or if it's
just him hitting 500 foot bombs. You know, I've forced myself to like Harper because there's so many people convinced he's going to be a Philadelphia Philly next year. I'm not sure that's happening, but it would, you know, you same thing with LeBron. Like, everybody says LeBron's going to Philly next year. Like, I'm not the biggest LeBron fan, but I got to like stay neutral until he signs somewhere. And, you know, if he doesn't, I've got one more reason to dislike him.
Right. Yeah, I've always been a fan of Harper. I've always been amazed at how good he was so early on in his career.
Yeah.
So young, and to be so, you know, in the batter's box, to be so smart and aware of what the pitcher's trying to do.
Yeah, I was really high on Harper coming into this season. I just didn't get him anywhere. And he's a first round pick, but towards the back half, and I kept finding myself either at like the very top or towards the back end, and he was already gone, you know, where he was in like that 6, 7, 8 range. So,
right.
You know, a fan of the profile, but just didn't get a chance to roster him. And that's what DFS is for. And then, you know, on the Giants side, if Austin Jackson leads off, he can be a sneaky play. His best days are well behind him, but hitting left-handed pitching has always been his calling card. So take a look at his price. Just have an idea.
Jackson's at 22 on FanDuel.
22. So if you need a punt, you know, you build a really nice lineup and you just can't figure out a way to get more than almost minimum salary freed up, he's a guy that can just be a placeholder, get you like 5-6 points. You know, he should get on base. Longo, he's waking up a little bit too. He hit a home run a couple days ago.
Today.
I hit one today too. Yeah. So he's in like the last 10 days. That makes 3 home runs for him. Hitting some doubles as well. A lot of that against left-handed pitching, I feel like. So he's another guy you could consider if you need a one-off. Hot.
He's got in his last 6 games, he's batting .435 with 6 extra base hits.
There you go. So he's a guy, you know, buried in that mediocre lineup, but heating up a bit.
Yeah, I think you could put, you know, the same with Washington. I think you could put a couple of those right-handed Giants bats in your lineups for cash games. I think they will get on base with Gio's whip problems, but I just don't know if they're going to score a whole lot of runs because he finds a way to shut down the inning.
Right. All right, so that wraps the slate. Let's build a lineup here, Chris.
Let's do it.
I'm going to let you decide which of the top pitchers you want to use. Do you want Cole or do you want Carrasco? And let's figure this is in the bunt single entry, so large field. Keep ownership in mind.
Well, if you're going to do the large field, you got to go with the one that people aren't going to flock to, which I think will be Carrasco. So I think if we're going to do that, then we have to go with Cole.
Agreed. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what kind of lineup we can build here, tying up that much salary with pitcher.
Yeah, that's the only concern.
All right, so let's talk stacks next. You know, you were pretty cold on the Padres, so that means we probably need to get a couple Rockies in there. You like the back end of that lineup, like Para, maybe Story at shortstop?
Yeah. Story, his price is a little high for me.
Okay.
Especially righty on righty. But if you're going to go with Colorado, Para's 400 cheaper, and he's got the split advantage there, lefty on righty.
Para suspension. Was Para suspended? He
sure did. He sure got suspended. So you can't put Para in there. So
you go.
Looks like we're going David Dahl.
Except you can't use him.
If they could put him on the slate.
All right. Well, we can't go with the big guys. So let's just pick a one-off. Why don't we use Ryan McMahon as a placeholder? Because if Para is sitting, McMahon almost has to be at first base. They got him listed as a third baseman. That'll do.
Oh, well,
we can work with that. Let's put McMahon.
That's a tough one, especially for 3,000, though.
Yeah, let's put McMahon 3,000 starting at Coors Field against Brian Mitchell. Hard to say no to that. So,
man.
The other spots I liked were the Mariners, the Astros, the A's, the Yankees. Any of those float your boat?
My favorite stack is probably the Oakland lineup. I would like to get a couple of Oakland guys in there because I just think Matt Moore is just a total train wreck.
Yeah.
But if we're going, I like New York. I like.
Let's work with the A's. Let's see who we've got affordable in the A's here. Semien, not a bad price for a shortstop. Mark Canha, he's a pretty good righty. Getting Matt Moore for three K. He's probably hitting second. Don't mind him. You want to get a, should we get a third guy in, or leave it at the top of that lineup with two?
Yeah, we could probably go. You said you like Simeon here.
Sorry, you cut out there for a second. You said you like Simeon there.
I prefer if we're gonna go, you know, middle infield for Oakland, I prefer Lowry at 4,000 as opposed to Simeon at 36.
Yeah, Lowry at 4, ride that hot streak. Okay.
He's too hot.
Let's just stack the top three then, and we'll use Lowry in the utility. I don't know. We got a second base open. I hate that FanDuel does that. FanDuel doesn't fill the open slots first when you're looking at all batters. All right, yeah, there we go. Pop him in at second.
All right.
And then, yeah, I think Yanks is going to be maybe a little too popular. Same thing with the Astros. They're probably a little too popular. So maybe get some Mariners in.
How about some? We could do some Mariners. I was thinking some Minnesota against Tanaka.
They've only got an implied run total of 3.6. That's just really low. Vegas hates them tomorrow. That's interesting.
Seattle, where are we at here?
They've got a 5 implied run total.
You could go Segura.
Take a look.
You like Gordon a little bit. He got the day off due to a sore foot today, so he'll probably be back at the lineup and fresh. So that could be nice.
Yeah, sounds like a minor concern. That could also chase some people off. You know, see foot injury and a base stealer. Got to get Haniger.
You mentioned Haniger.
Yeah, he's just too hot.
Haniger.
So we probably need to space it a little bit then and get that tied together. So we either need like Robbie Cano or Nelson Cruz to bridge it to Haniger. I would probably say Cano, left-hander taking on a righty in a park that's pretty good for that.
Yeah, that spreads us a little thin.
Yeah, we're getting a little over on salary here. All right. Let's take out a couple of these Mariners. We probably got to cut Jed Lowry at 4K too. Unfortunately, you'll just have to play him in your lineups, Chris. are there any pay downs you particularly like? I know we mentioned Austin Jackson as a really low price guy.
Yeah, he's very low priced. If he's in the lineup, I like Neil Walker. I just don't know if he'll be in that lineup, 2,500 against Odorizzi.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to try and give Torres some runs, so I don't know what's going to happen with him.
Definitely got to keep an eye on that, on the lineup builds tomorrow when they announce him.
Yeah, let's pop Jackson in there as a salary relief. Keeps us around 3K average for the remaining spots. First baseman that are in that range. I know we mentioned Justin Bour. We also mentioned Yuli Gurriel. He's 3K. That'd be a nice way to get a piece of that Astros lineup.
Or even, you want to keep it low owned because you could do Alonso against Gausman. For 2,900.
Yeah, I'm good with that. He did a little something today. Two for five with a double RBI run scored. Starting to wake up a bit.
Yeah, you could go that, or you could go Gattis against Skaggs. Yeah. A little bit higher owned, but
I'm not a Gattis fan. He's such a crash and burn. All right, we'll keep Uriel on the back.
We're going Alonzo here.
Yeah, I'll go Alonzo here, and we'll keep Gurriel on the back burner. See what we do at second. All right, down in that range.
You could roll with the Torres pick at 2,600. They got him listed
on the Yankees.
Yep.
Could
go with.
Yeah, maybe. He had a tough day today, though, didn't he? Yeah, 0-for-4. He might take a minute to adjust. Yeah, second's a tough one. Not a lot to like here.
You could roll with. Let's see what we got.
There's Kipnis. There's Kipnis there to,
Utley's in there too.
To tie together with Alonzo.
That would leave 2,300 for the shortstop.
Oh, I put Semien in at shortstop.
With, oh, you did have him in there.
Yeah,
okay.
I put Semien in. Yeah, so that would leave us 2,700 for a utility player. Take a look and see if there's anybody in that range that we're comfortable with. Beckham, Marwin.
You could go with Marwin.
Gattis is there. And a couple of Astros. That's not
Chris
awesome.
Taylor.
And, I mean, Gattis is getting a lefty, which he tends to crush. I just worry about his ownership against the lefty. That's when people play him.
They ride the hot hand with Suzuki.
That's kind of sneaky.
Against Sal Romano. Very sneaky there.
Let's
see. Maybe Vogelback against Gonzalez.
Oh, you know what? He's not on this. I'm not doing the all-day slate. I just did the main slate. So no Kurt. All right, so your choice would either be Gattis or Marwin.
Yeah, I think Marwin would probably be a little bit lower owned.
Let's do that then.
But he's warming up a little bit.
Trying to keep that ownership down. I believe he's solid. He's a switch hitter. I believe he's solid on both sides. All right, there we go. So we're going to go Gerrit Cole, Yonder Alonso, second base. What did we do at second base? Why do I have Juan Moncada in here? I put Kipnis in as a placeholder. Yeah, so Kipnis at second. Yeah. Ryan McMahon, if he's in the lineup. Marcus Semien, Mark Canha, Austin Jackson, D. Gordon, Marwin Gonzalez. So definitely wasn't the easiest build with Gerrit Cole in there. Sometimes what I like to do is when I build this kind of lineup, I throw it in like a dollar tournament, and then I see if I can go down anywhere. Obviously here it would be pitcher. So if you went down from Gerrit Cole to like Gio Gonzalez or all the way down to Trevor Cahill, you would pretty much be building an entirely different lineup with Cahill. But like if you go down to Gio, you can get a couple more of those Oakland bats in. Like at second base, you can go Lowry. You could probably get another Indian or two in there if you want it that way. Or you could put some more Seattle bats in if that's your preferred route. So yeah, that's what we got. I'll pop that in there, track how it does. But as always, guys, hit us with questions, you know where, on Twitter and Slack. And good luck with your builds. Chris, thanks for being on with me tonight. And we'll chat soon.